Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
The first lesson today is from Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm today is Psalm 31, 1 through 5, and 15 through 16. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me. Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my crag and my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that they have secretly set for me, for you and my tower of strength. Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and in your loving kindness save me. The second reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Come to him, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "See, I am laying in Zion in a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." To you then who believe he is precious, or for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the very head of the corner, and a stone that makes them stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. to tell you, it's the strength and power of art in all its forms. Painting, dance, sculpture, music, like that hymn, Bacchus Alph. I was sitting here listening to the electronic sounds that comes along with that, realizing that we're all seated in different places. And still, I was moved so much by those notes that so many have heard over so many years. And there is power in that. I'm grateful that Otis brings that to us. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Well, that's okay. It's Thomas. We've come to expect that kind of thing from him, that brashness and questioning. After all, it's the same doubting Thomas we read about 3 weeks ago in the episode that won him that title in the popular mind. But there's a more subtle kind of doubt at work just a little bit later in today's episode. And this time it's not Thomas, it's Philip, another one of the original 12. Philip doesn't say, I don't believe or I won't believe, as Thomas had said. After Jesus has talked about his relationship with the Father, Philip just seems to be thinking aloud, saying, so show us the Father then, and we'll be satisfied. Our hearts won't be troubled then. That's how this passage began. Jesus then goes on at some length to say that the Father is speaking through him and working miracles through him, and that should be sufficient. Jesus can't show them the Father. Maybe the Son can't order the Father around. Maybe that's just not how it works with the supreme being. He doesn't do parlor tricks. Maybe because he, Jesus, is a man, just like these men who are his faithful, if annoying and challenging, followers. Maybe because that's his own code of conduct as the divine presence in incarnate human form. Whatever the reason, there's no back and forth here, no debate, no apparent inner struggle for Jesus. He doesn't even say no. He just says, you either believe or you don't, and there's plenty of reason for you to believe. That is what sent me into my inevitable foray into Bible and internet. That juncture of belief, knowledge, faith, doubt, trust. I'm always intrigued by it. It always seems to be roiling around inside of me. In our English version of the Bible, I found 19 instances of belief, which includes instances of unbelief, and a whopping 557 of faith. Poking around online, putting the words just like this, no commas, nothing, belief, doubt, faith, trust, knowledge, in the search bar, I wound up inside a high school textbook. Actually, it's called A Guide to the Theory of Knowledge course in the Oxford International Baccalaureate Diploma Program. It was really impressive, though. I was really taken with it. Without getting too lost in the weeds, I'll just say that this theory of knowledge identifies 8 ways of knowing: language, sense perception, emotion, reason, imagination, faith, intuition, and memory. I had access only to the 10 pages on faith, which is probably a good thing. That way I was able to finish the sermon on time. It's a fair and even-handed approach, acknowledging four definition threads. One, faith as trust. And you know me, that's been my my favorite way of approaching faith in general. That's one. Two, faith as loyalty and keeping promises, as in marriage vows, being faithful. Three, faith as taking things on faith without further questioning, at least for the moment. And four, faith as a subjective matter, as in a belief that rejects the need for justification or a justification based on other justifications. I know that this brief investigation sounds arid and sterile, but it left me feeling again that I am among kindred spirits in the company of Thomas, Philip, the wayward Israelites in their exodus in the wilderness, and the author of the line, "I believe, help my unbelief." The speaker of that line is the unnamed father of a boy, demon-possessed or epileptic, take your pick. He had asked Jesus to help his son if he could. Jesus told him, "All things are possible for the one who believes." It's what he says to the father of this boy who's suffering so. And the father's response is, "I do believe." And sotto voce, in the way I imagine it, "Help my unbelief." Talk about honesty and courage and trust. It's as if the man were thinking, "I've got to say I believe, and I want to believe, but there's no way I can just lie to this rabbi. He'll know the truth anyway." So he said exactly what was in his heart and on his mind. "I believe, help my unbelief." And his son was healed. I know, all this from Philip's simple, unguarded statement, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." This is a question of faith and trust, not of proof and verification. Philip, Thomas, the desperate father, and so many others in Scripture and outside shore up my belief that all of us experience doubt, even moments when we question our faith. Well, most of us, how's that, in case you've never had that experience, my hat's off to you. Most of us go through times in our lives when we might see as testing our faith. For some, this whole era of pandemic might be such a time. Not, I can say with some gratitude, for me. I've heard it said that God is testing our faith with this. I do not believe that. The God in whom I believe doesn't stoop to such tactics, doesn't try to catch us out in doing or saying the wrong thing. Quite the opposite. God is right there with us whenever we falter, take a misstep, or just flat out sin, and does everything possible to bring us back into his embrace. God wants us to succeed in difficult times, wants us to live abundant lives, in the words of last Sunday's gospel. It's in our nature to want certainty, plain, unadorned, bookable proof. But in the questions that endure, the tough ones about meaning and purpose, we have to rely upon faith, to trust that we have always been and always will be in the concern and care of perfect love. And we are, right now, in the hands of the loving God who created all that is, including ourselves. My friend Russ Archibald, whom I mentioned last Sunday, died, either while we were in our virtual coffee hour or shortly after that. One of the many people who offered expressions of love and concern for his family shared a quotation you probably know. I've heard it several times over the years and forgotten it, but this really brought it home to me. The author was an Anglican priest, Henry Scott Holland, who is canon of St. Paul's Cathedral, London. It comes from his sermon following the death of King Edward VII in May 1910. I hope you can hear the truth among these words, almost hiding behind the images. I hope you can see how this eloquent expression of faith can be applied at any time in our lives, not only at the time of a death, and especially in this, our present time. The long sermon, and this is just an excerpt from it. Death is nothing at all. It does not count. I've only slipped away into the next room. Nothing has happened. Everything remains exactly as it was. I am I, and you are you, and the old life that we lived so fondly together is untouched, unchanged. Whatever we were to each other, that we are still. Call me by the old familiar name. Speak of me in the easy way which you always used. Put no difference into your tone. Wear no forced air of solemnity or sorrow. Laugh as we always laughed at the little jokes that we enjoyed together. Play, smile, think of me, pray for me. Let my name be ever the household word that it always was. Let it be spoken without an effort, without the ghost of a shadow upon it. Life means all that it ever meant. It is the same as it ever was. There is absolute and unbroken continuity. What is this death but a negligible accident? Why should I be out of mind because I am out of sight? I am but waiting for you for an interval, somewhere very near, just round the corner. All is well. Nothing is hurt. Nothing is lost. One brief moment, and all will be as it was before. How we shall laugh at the trouble of parting when we meet again. He ends the sermon with these words, which might well be a response to Philip's request to see the Father. Only you will somehow become aware of what it might mean to become more and more alike to the Lord Jesus, whom you adore, as more and more in the infinite amazement of an ever-growing surprise, you learn to see him as he really is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate in the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scripture. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophet. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
I ask your prayer for God's peoples throughout the world, for our presiding bishop, Michael, for our bishops, Andy, Jeff, Kay, and Hector, for our priest, Michael, and for our missionary, Jeannie, and for this gathering, and for all ministers and people. Pray for the church. I ask your prayers for peace, for goodwill among nations, and for the well-being of all people. Pray for justice and peace. I ask your prayers for the poor, the sick, the hungry, the oppressed, and those in prison. Pray for those in any need or trouble. I ask your prayers for all who seek God or a deeper knowledge of him. Pray that they may find and be found by him. I ask your prayers for the departed, especially for Ginger Weaver, Judy Cervantes Aviles, Elizabeth Nichols, Russ Archibald, and for all who have died from the COVID-19. Pray for those who have died. I ask your prayers for John, Barry, Morgan, Victoria, Kay, Bob, Richard, Shelley, Allison, Melissa, Sarah, the Degatere family, Jaden, James, Jenny, Dee, Miranda, Jackie, Dale, Leslie, Linda, Nathanara, Maya, Ann, Nathan, Christy, Lynn, Ellie, Paul, Merle, June, Caitlin, Deppa, Luciana, the women in the Hutto facility, Alan, Marcel, Matt, Ashley, Patty, Mark, John, Scott, Urel, Susan, and Mark, Kenyon, Sarah, Ann, Clay, Janice, Tyler, Lottie, Cheryl, Lee, Calvin, the Swan and White family, Curtis, Teresa, Martha and Larry, Barbara, the Bailey family, Sharon, Karen, Cynthia, Bonnie and Ed, Petra. Lord, you know what they need. I ask your prayers for all who serve in the military, especially Brian and Eric, James, Trevor, Kevin, Chris, Jared and Brian, Jonathan, and all in harm's way. I ask your prayers for all who of necessity are traveling this week. I ask your prayers for all who mourn, especially the families of Ginger Weaver, Judy Cervantes Avilas, Josh Almirandez, Elizabeth Nichols, and Russ Archibald. I ask your thanksgiving for the birthdays of Carol Guthrie, Roy Hoyce, and Isaiah Montemayor, and for the anniversary of Melinda and Sean Lovelace. I invite your prayers or thanksgivings at this time.
Among those who have died, we pray also for the repose of the soul of Josh Almendarez. And I invite your prayers. Unmute yourselves if you wish to offer your prayers aloud or silently at this time. Praise God for those in every generation in whom Christ has been honored. Pray that we may have grace to glorify Christ in our own day. Let us pray for all the mothers among us today, for our own mothers, those living and those who have died, for the mothers who loved us and those who fell short of loving us fully, for all who hope to be mothers someday, and for those whose hope to have children has been frustrated, for all mothers who have lost children, for all women and men who have mothered others in any way, those who have been our substitute mothers, and we who have done so for those in need, for the earth that bore us and provides our sustenance. We pray this all in the name of God, our great and loving mother. Amen. Now, I'm going to put this litany on the screen. If you can't see it, if you're coming in another way, know that your response is, hear our prayer. So, O God, our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble, in this challenging and uncertain time of global pandemic and public health crisis, we come before you offering our prayers on behalf of those in need, the church and the world. For the church, that it may not grow weary of proclaiming the gospel of Christ and serve as beacon of hope to a suffering world, we pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, and our bishops, and all who minister in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all affected by the coronavirus around the world, for the leaders of the nations, that they may work together for the common good as the outbreak spreads, may barriers that divide be brought down, that bonds of trust may be strengthened to benefit the entire human family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant public health and government officials in our nation the strength and will to act swiftly and decisively with wisdom and compassion in service to all. We pray especially for Donald, President of the United States, members of Congress, governors, and elected officials in local municipalities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heal those who are sick with the virus. May they have access to medical care and regain their strength and health. Grant them your healing grace. Give strength to all who are caring for loved ones. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For healthcare workers who, with hearts of service, stand on the front lines of providing care, grant them courage and protection as they put the needs of public safety before their own. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray especially for our own family member, Bruce McComas, as a member of that group, and Lynn Gray, and so many others. Bless scientists and researchers around the world as they combat the virus, that their work may yield knowledge to develop a vaccine, treatments, and improved measures to reduce its spread. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the safety and well-being of all who travel and those who remain quarantined, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Remove the presence of fear and anxiety from our hearts, that confident in your providence, we may be generous in sharing our resources. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Grant that our churches and communities of faith may reflect your love as they minister to the most vulnerable among us. Fill them with your Holy Spirit as they work to be your healing hands and feet to all in need. Lord, in your mercy, Hear our prayer. For those who have already lost loved ones to the virus and those who will yet suffer such loss, that they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For all who have died in the hope of the resurrection and those whose faith is known to you alone, that with all the saints they may have rest in that place where there is no pain or grief, but life eternal. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy. Sustain and support the anxious. Be with those who care for the sick, and lift up all who are brought low, that we may find comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we're bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I will unmute you all and they'll hear, they'll let be what will be. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And also with you.
Peace to all.
Peace to everybody.
Peace to all. Peace to all.
I'm unmuted. Wonderful to share the peace with all of you, to have us all here together. And it does feel together. Let's face it, the church has always been the whole church gathered together, including those who are present in church, those who are absent on that day, and those who have gone before us. That is the church. That's the whole church, yes. Stretching back to Jesus himself. May Almighty God, who has redeemed us and made us his children through the resurrection of his Son, our Lord, bestow upon you the riches of his blessing.
Amen.
May God, who through the water of baptism has raised us from sin into newness of life, make you holy and worthy to be united with Christ forever.
Amen.
May God, who has brought us out of bondage to sin into true and lasting freedom in the Redeemer, bring you to your eternal inheritance.
Amen.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.